Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. And after the first segment where I gave Cindy a complete soft pitch, easy group of ingredients.
You would say that.
Just fun stuff to cook.
Fun. It was a good list of ingredients.
So I'm sure that she's going to completely
I'm very thoughtful with my list of ingredients. Don't worry. All right, so I'll give you the same choice. Door number one, two, or three. I don't have Noah's Ark, I'm afraid. I wasn't.
Do you want to know?
Creative.
Do you know what's in the kitchen?
My title numbers. Oh yes, I'm sorry. Yes, what's in your kitchen, Donnie?
So there's a 6-burner range and a nice oven, the commercial one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ton of old fashioned copper pans to cook things in. There's a huge number of spices and dried stuff, especially into like an Asian range of things too. And then a decent amount of baking stuff in the kitchen, including a lot of different flours and things. There's also a lot of pickles from last summer and autumn, and lots of preserves from last summer, and a little bit from this summer already. And that's jarred up goodies.
Nice to have.
And potatoes, shallots, onions, that kind of business around.
Mm-hmm.
So. And even a little bit
of
like.
Do you have herbs growing at your house? So you're.
I do. I have a big planter of amazing Provençal thyme.
Good.
And
that's nice.
A huge sage plant and a couple of rosemary plants. But in the forest, that's about as far as you can go. You really can't get a whole lot of the sunny stuff. Well, the house is surrounded by giant trees and
yes,
such.
Yes, it is. All right.
There's a grill outside too. But, but you know me, I tend to do a lot of things in pans and in pretty high heat.
Okay.
Or for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got?
Which one do you want?
One,
two, or three?
Number one.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Number one. What is she giving me? Oh, there we go. Thank you, Dan. let's see. Item number one, pig's feet. Number two, oxtail. Okay. Green onions. Slab bacon. Well, clearly, I'm not making anything healthful. let's see. Polenta. Wonderful. I love polenta. Spinach.
That's healthy.
Yeah. Beets with tops.
I know you like that.
Yes, I do. Eggplants.
You like
garlic.
Those.
Mm-hmm. Blackberries. Boy, they've been good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Quince. They must be otherwise sourced. And leeks. Okay. Huh. All righty then. Now, let's see. I think this is an array of things that would make me want to. Maybe it's items for Northern Italian or maybe like a Veneto wine tasting, because it's a lot of things that would make nice antipasti, more than maybe a complete menu. So, the oxtail, maybe it's a bunch of antipasti and then a dish with polenta.
That would be fun for a summer day.
With the pig's feet. So, I'm going to sort of work backwards and think about what the main dish is. It's usually kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure out what the thing is that's going to make everybody
that's how
satisfied.
I worked.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And the thing about pig's feet is it makes wonderful gelatin, so that's something to think about as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So the pig's feet. Well, I do want to get some of the gelatin. I want to work those guys, roast those guys, and get some of the material. Once they caramelize, get a little bit of a stock going, but I don't really have goods to make stock so much. So I have to use a bit of leeks and garlic.
You have onions at home.
Yeah,
you probably have carrots, celery, and onion at home.
Carrots and celery, no, because like you, I'd buy them when I got them.
Mm-hmm.
But even just the garlic and the onions is enough to poach those pig's feet and to begin to get
and
a little bit of flavor out of them.
Aromatics in your spices, probably.
Yeah,
bay
no question.
Thyme,
what I want, the result that I want is I want to get some flavor in a stock from the pig's feet, but I also really want the gelatin in that stock and cool that stuff down. Some of the pickles that I have, what I really want is some of the gelatin from the pig's feet with some of the pickles on like bruschetta, like the old bread.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
You know, that sort of thing. A couple of drops of good vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a bunch of wine that I've turned into vinegar over time in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's a very fun thing. It'd be great to have, like, if you're tasting from the Veneto Amarone, things like that, or a good Valpolicella, great to have with that sort of thing. The polenta, I'd want to use the oxtail and braise the oxtail caramelize it really well, and then and braise that for a little while, but like a shallow braise and a lot of red wine, to get that to sort of pull apart and serve the polenta with the braised oxtail, and do the spinach as a side dish for that, and just spinach with garlic. Mm-hmm. The quince and the blackberries are definitely things that, you know, you want to save for dessert. The quince, it's funny, you gave me things that you make into preserves, or you make into, which obviously I mm-hmm. which obviously I do. The blackberries, for antipasti, blackberries in a vinaigrette with the beet tops, especially if they're young beet tops, and the beets roasted long and slow in their jackets, and then sliced very, very thin, almost like carpaccio. Then the beet tops and blackberries, sort of sweet and bitter and tart.
Are the beet tops raw? Are you cooking them?
If they're real young and tender, you don't need to cook them. If they are a little more mature, then I'd blanch them in really salted water.
That would be nice.
And then chill them quick.
They would be tender.
And then chop them into...
And a beautiful color, too, if you blanch them.
Like chiffonade, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Into a chiffonade.
That might be fun to do.
But, there's the whole big plate covered with the beets and then and then dressed with that, I would like very much.
Mm-hmm.
The leeks would also make nice antipasti on a bruschetta. Just sort of melt them. There is butter at the house, and if you melt them for a long time and you finish them with butter and then cool them in the butter and good salt, and that just almost like a paste on a warm grilled bruschetta is great. Great white wine accompaniment sort of thing. The bacon I have not used. Who knew?
You can put a little bacon on your leek bruschetta.
Well, I've been thinking about what to do with the eggplant. No, it would be nice on the bruschetta. But I think I might want to use that for a dish with the eggplant.
That's funny. We both gave each other eggplant.
Yeah. Well,
it's nice
eggplant
right
is really
now.
Good this year. That's why.
And there's so many different varieties that are out there, too. So that's really...
Yeah, I think...
I love eggplant.
Slow roasted eggplant with... render off some of the bacon to get some of it crunchy. Use a little bit of the fat for roasting the eggplant along with some milder olive oil, and then finish that with some of the green onions. Just a little bit of time on heat for the green onions chopped fine. So you have literally just a series of toppings for bruschetta, for antipasti. So you have the pig's feet with a little bit of pickled goodies, especially pickled garlic is great on that kind of thing on bruschetta. Mm. You have and all the vegetable dishes, and you have the polenta with braised oxtail, and a side dish of the spinach with garlic as an accompaniment for that. And yeah, I'm thinking Veneto wines. And then the quince, you'd have to make it into almost like membrillo if you want it on its own. Or I have a lot of baking things in my house, honestly, to make it to cook the quince down and just do almost like almost get it to the jelly form and make a jam tart or a little like jam tart cookie kind of things, like little sandwich cookies with a really good sablé. With the quince jelly in between, be nice,
mm-hmm.
and have that. The famous sweet wines, the Rechotos from the Veneto, would be awesome with something like that. So
that sounds good. I love quince. It's so cool when you cook it. The color, the intensity of the color, it's amazing what happens when you cook it. It's so pretty. It's this magenta.
This is exactly what happens when I
love
cook at
quince.
Home. I get caught up in like five different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like five different antipasti, and it takes me an hour longer than it's supposed to. And everyone's really hungry, and they've had a little bit. And I always have good wine open.
Of course.
And so they've always had a little bit, so they're in good moods.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably should have started feeding them an hour earlier. I should have started working on the stuff an hour earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I end up being all touchy and feely about cooking it. So
it all works out.
I have to line up at least one of those bruschetta earlier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you use the blackberries?
I did. I used the blackberries for the salad for the. For the beets.
The beets. Okay, very good.
So literally, this is the kind of meal where you set up, and everyone has like one plate in front of them. And all the antipasti are things that are really room temperature things.
It's a fun way to eat.
And you lay everything out. And then the polenta, like you lay everything out, and the polenta is going to take, 40 minutes or something. So if you did the oxtail in advance and had that ready to go and just kind of like simmering it on very low and warm, and you start the polenta when everyone sits down for the antipasti. You have 40 minutes to eat antipasti and probably to taste whites and lighter reds. And then you sit down to the polenta. You finish the spinach. You know, that's a one-minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down to the spinach and the polenta. And again, that's served in the middle. You can just replace everyone's plate. Boom. One time. Very simple, rustic And you did your tarts in advance. So
good meal for home.
That might be
works out well.
That sounds like a good one for like September on the porch or something. You know?
Yes. Yes.
So there. I hope you're satisfied with your use of your ingredients.
Well done.
Try to make something healthful out of that. Oh my God. Starting out with pig's feet and oxtail and bacon. So, all right.
Consider the source.
Yes, ma'am. Are you ready for what's behind?
I am.
Door number one? Okay. So
all right, let's see what you have there.
A different exercise.
Oh, gosh.
So we're going to go back to Cindy's kitchen. We're going to give her second test.
Okay, well, give it to me.
Let's see it. You want the one on the top or the one underneath?
One on the top.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Okay. You're going to like this one.
Uh-huh. Here we go. All right. I'm seeing it. Uh-huh. Veal shoulder, golden beets, Italian parsley, arborio rice, excellent, broccoli, a pomegranate, 3 blood oranges, 4, what does that say? 4 something in shell with scallops, 4 scallops in shell with roe, 6 sweet potatoes, coriander seeds, which I never used, day old Italian bread, pugliese, and 2 pounds tiny shrimp in shells. 2 pounds tiny shrimp?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy!
I don't know.
You talk for a second while I look at this thing.
Well, this is kind of a look. See, this is what happens when we shop for each other, because, I get excited by something and I know I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. I don't go with a recipe in mind.
Right.
So maybe I saw the little tiny shrimp and they were incredibly fresh and I needed to have them.
Mm-hmm. Well, those tiny shrimp are going to become risotto for sure, so let's do that first. So with a risotto, I have broccoli.
That's a great first course.
That would be yummy, actually. And I'll use the coriander.
The shrimp and the broccoli?
Yeah.
In the risotto?
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to do anything with the broccoli first before it goes in there?
Pardon me?
Are you just going to garnish the risotto with the broccoli or are you going to cook it in there?
Oh, no, I'll cook it in there. I believe when you make rice, you want to have all of your ingredients in as soon as possible. The only thing with broccoli is that you don't want to lose your color, and you don't want to overcook the shrimp. What I will do is I will actually start, I have onions, so I'll onions and shallots sauteed in butter, and I will go ahead and begin to make the risotto. I'm actually gonna use some of that blood orange juice. So I have 3 blood oranges. I'll probably suprême one of them and then juice the other 2. And I will make the risotto with that blood orange juice, onion, shallot, butter. And then when I'm able to, I will begin to add the raw broccoli, because what's going to happen is it's going to cook in the liquid as I'm cooking it. That way I have more time and we'll get more flavor out of it while I'm making the risotto. And
how long do you think the broccoli and the rice?
I'll probably get about 3 to 4 minutes with the broccoli in there from raw. And, I would cut it into small pieces. Yeah, small pieces. You don't want like huge pieces of broccoli in your risotto. You want it to be relatively similar to the size of the rice itself. And then at the end, I realize now I have shells on my shrimp. So I would make a quick shrimp stock from those shells. So I would actually rephrase and think about making that shrimp stock. So when you make shrimp stock, you just wash the shells in cold water and put them in a pot, just covered to the top of the shells with water. Bring it up to a boil, maybe cook it 1 minute, and then strain it, and that makes a really pretty shrimp stock. So I'm going to backtrack and make my risotto with onion, shallot, and have my liquid be the shrimp stock. And then I'll begin to add the broccoli near the end, and I will add a little bit of that blood orange juice anyway, because that will be pretty and perfume it and give it a little bit of acidity. And then right before I'm about to plate, I would add the little shrimp, and those are raw at this point, and they're peeled and deveined, obviously, no tails, and completely shellless, and add those right at the very end, finish with a little bit of butter, and plate it with the blood orange supremes on the plate. And
if I was in your kitchen looking over your shoulder, I would tell you to work an arbol chili with, it's funny, I'm thinking about how that will taste together, and I think it will be great, but I would love a tiny little bit of heat.
Mm-hmm. You know,
toast the rice when you first, go on the pan with it with an arbol chili or something to release a little bit.
Well, and I'm growing jalapenos in my garden. That's not really the flavor profile I would be after. I'd rather have something more like a habanero or dried chili.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also have lemon verbena in my garden, basil, English thyme, 2 different types of lavender, rosemary, chives, and I have a couple of other things, but so those things would be, I could use in any of my cooking as well.
The broccoli note and the shrimp note are strong notes, so.
Right, and I did not use the coriander seed, so I'm going to have to use that with the veal shoulder. And so what I have left is the veal shoulder, the golden beets, the parsley, the pomegranate, the sweet potatoes, and the coriander, and day-old bread. Okay, so I am going to, I don't know what I'm going to do with that bread. But sweet potatoes. So I could rub the sweet potatoes. I could do a large dice of sweet potatoes and rub them with the coriander seed and put them in the oven and roast them. And I'm going to put the veal shoulder in the oven too. So I'm going to roast the veal shoulder. Since I do have rosemary, I think I'll put a, I'll make a little bit of an oil with rosemary and maybe.
How are you going to roast the veal? How are you going to season it and take care of it when you roast it?
So salt, pepper, the little bit of fresh rosemary and thyme from my garden, and extra virgin olive oil, just a little bit. Just normally we don't cook with extra virgin, but just to give it some richness. And then I would rub that into the shoulder, and I would probably marinate that 24 hours in advance if I could, if not certainly a couple of hours in advance, and let the veal shoulder marinate. I would leave it probably, it depends on how much it weighs, but I would probably leave it as a whole piece, and hoping that there's some good fat on there, and which with veal you don't have much fat, but hopefully there's a little bit of fat, and start it off at high heat, roasted it probably for about 15 minutes at 425 degrees, and then turn it down to probably about 275 and roast it very slowly.
Long, slow.
Right, and add actually I'm going to add the beets and the sweet potatoes to that pan near the end of the roasting time and work it that way.
So you have the risotto with the shrimp and the broccoli first, and then the veal roast with the golden beets and the...
Yeah, and pomegranate. I think the pomegranate seed could just be a fresh garnish at the end, which would be delicious.
Just the natural juice.
You could chop the parsley. Yeah, chop the parsley, add it at the end.
All right, I'm hungry. We have to stop for a snack.
Okay.
When we come back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine, it's a little more Chef Showdown.